much to be thankful for. And praise God. I'm thankful for each one of you. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord to worship Him this morning. And appreciate Pastor Bert and Arlene Gallardi. Been friends for a long time. And I can't even remember how long. That's how long. It's been a while. And been praying for both the Gallardis. And, you know, Pastor Bert's going to speak in the morning and Arlene in the evening. And I trust in that they've got a message from heaven for us. And you know, nothing's changed since the book of Revelation was written. And when there was messages given to the seven churches, they were heavenly messages. And nothing's changed, you know. Week after week, heaven sends a message to his church and to all those who have ears to hear. So I'm happy to ask Pastor Bert if you would come. And thank you for coming, brother. And make yourself right at home.
Amen. Thank you. Praise Jesus. I'm going to use the main one. Yeah. Yeah, my days of running around are over. when you have a stroke 5 years ago, I used to dance in the house of God. One brother keeps reminding me I actually tripped one time. I was dancing so hard. And well, I dance in my heart. And I pray. I'm a praiser. I love to worship Him. Yes. Amen. And so we don't run around quite like we used to, you know. But the Lord is able to speak through us, whether we're stationary or whether we're moving. Amen. Yes. Praise God. So if you turn to the book of Romans chapter 8, we're going to hang out there a little bit. I'll be moving toward John 11, because if there's anybody in the tomb like Lazarus, we want to get you out of there today.
Amen.
And my message today is called Entering God's Glory. And entering into it now. It would say this way, entering a present glory. That's what I want to talk on today. And it came out in prophecy, came out through Brother Pastor Sunil's prayer, and I heard him saying, give us the glory at the end. As I began to put this message together, I have a great memory for messages. Most of the people that know me, I can remember the good and bad messages. I'd rather remember the good ones. But we've heard, I remember the last time I was here, I put this message together, really looked to the Lord, prayed over it, and I realized it was very similar to what I preached here last year. I have a notebook, and sometimes I really feel like I have something that needs to be saved, I'll write it in this notebook. And so basically last year I talked about the glory that Moses entered into. And we've heard the sermons about, you know, when pastors want to preach and get people to stop being angry, they might preach a sermon about how Moses got angry and smote the rock and how he was disqualified from crossing over. And, but you know, The thing was that the children of Israel, the newer generation, ended up with the land, but Moses ended up with the glory. He was the one that said, show me thy glory. And if you look at Matthew 17, you'll find out that he was on the mountain of glory. He arrived at where he was supposed to be. And we know that Moses' life did have failure. It had failure in the beginning of his ministry and life. It had failure at the end. And yet, in spite of that, he still entered the glory of God. Amen? Isn't it wonderful that we have a Holy Spirit that will intercede for us, even in time of weakness, so that we don't miss the mark? I'm very thankful for that. I remember most of these songs, 90% of these songs, I used to sing as a young preacher in my congregation. And when I stepped in here for the first time, Clayton's good at dates. Clayton would know how many years we've been coming here. 35. And the first time I stepped in this church, met Brother McKinnon and the eldership, I felt very much at home because I saw a love for the cross, but a love for the deeper life. And some people are one way or the other, right? You get some churches that just are interested in what Jesus did for us at the cross, and we leave it there. But then there's those who want to go on in Him. And whoever put those words up was anointed. Because God wants us to have the glory. And a lot of times we are postponing it. To some other day. The Bible says today if you hear the voice. And the prophecy that was given this morning was encouraging us to enter into something today. I'm feeling in my spirit that God wants to deliver some of us. Now we can lay hands on you, and that doesn't necessarily mean you'll get delivered. But when the word is spoken, if you receive it, you can be set free. There's some of us that have been prolonged seasons of suffering and testing, but we can walk out anytime we want. But there's some people that are perpetual mourners. They want to stay in the same misery. But God has come, Christ came to the cross, that not only that we could make a way back to Father and the sin penalty would be paid, but that we could have deliverance now. We don't have to wait till later. And so we know we're in time of preparation. We know we're living in the end times where God is dealing with the church in a heavy way. Even though there are charismatic circles that say the Lord doesn't convict anymore of sin. It's sad that the Holy Spirit would not convict the church of sin. And yet we see in the seven churches the Lord walking among the candlesticks and wanting purity. We see this in the Gospel of John. And yet we know that even if we fall short, we have an advocate. We have an attorney. Amen? Praise God. And so Jesus Christ is our attorney. He is the one that intercedes for us. So I want to talk about entering a present glory, not just a future. And so I can thank God for the movement I was sat under, and this church was affected by the moves of God that happened in the past, whether it was through Martha Wing Robinson, Brother Gardner, and in my case, Brother Valori was in the Latter Rain Revival, and I still carry a deposit of that, which causes me to continually be reaching for the glory of God. And so you can seek the Lord for heaven. Heaven's going to be given one day, but God wants a people that can have the glory now. And I wear out some people because I talk about one of my favorite historical people, and it's Abraham Lincoln. I'm even teaching the Colombians and the Indians about him, wherever I go. And Lincoln had a situation where he lost a son. The son's name was Willie. And Willie, all Willie ever wanted, all he ever talked about was, I want to be a preacher. I want to grow up to be a preacher. And yet we know that he died of typhoid fever. That incident drove Mrs. Lincoln to insanity. But that same incident drove Lincoln to Christ. The Christ that he knew as a boy, that he had wandered from. And he came back to him. And at Gettysburg, before he gave that tremendous speech, which is known worldwide, he had bent his knee at his bed the night before that, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And they said when he walked to that train that they never saw. Lincoln was always a man that walked bent over. They said they saw something different about the man's walk. And God wants to touch you today, and he wants to set you free from their present misery. He wants you to know whether you have sickness in your body or soul or spirit, Jesus has come to set us free. And I believe in the God of the centurion who says, speak the word only. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate it. If there's anybody who needs prayer, I need it. And I like it when people pray for me. Because you know, there can be an impartation of faith when we have somebody lay hands on us. But you know what? I also believe in the creative word that can come right to where we are and say, Lazarus, come forth. God is wanting to call us forth today. And I'm blessed by Romans 8, verse 16 to 18 as our introduction today, what we want to talk about. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. And then verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs of God, and join heirs with Christ, it so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen? And I think that is talking quite a bit about the future glory. And we all know that there's a glorification for the church at the coming of Christ, isn't there? But verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and you can circle that word present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I really believe that that revealing is now. I believe that that's talking about a present glory. I like the way it comes out in the Amplified, which kind of flows along with the Greek. And some people say, well, are you a King James only? I say, no, I'm a King Jesus only. And that gives me the liberty to look at different translations. However, you still got to be careful, but you can't get hurt if you go into the Hebrew and the Greek. And this is what it says, that the glory wants to be revealed in us, through us, and by us. When it says revealed in us, like Paul said, that Christ might be revealed in me, what he was saying is that there would be a full revelation that would be seen on the inside. God had to blind Paul on the road to Damascus because the seeing that Paul needed was in his heart and in his spirit. And sometimes God will even allow an infirmity in our life so that we might see him in a greater way. When I had this stroke a number of years ago, brain tumor the size of a lemon, God spared my life. I was very dangerous when I came out of that operation. I witnessed everything that would move. Amen. I had a keenness in the spirit. There was a keenness that I didn't even need to take one pain pill that whole time. There was a keenness of the spiritual dimension that I had not had for some time. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The Lord wants to begin to awaken our spirits in a fresh way to him. Amen. And so he wants to be revealed in us. He wants to give us the full revelation to our inner man of who he is. But he also wants that glory to be seen through us, that somebody else will be affected that we meet. Amen? And by us means that we might become the full dispenser where we actually become the glory of God. Amen? And so God desires that we don't know his will only, but that we become his will. Amen? And so we see this very much. And let's look over to 1 Peter and look at this elder. How many like to hear from elders? Now we have a generation today that no longer wants to hear from the elders. Amen. My daughter's been trying to teach me for years. It hasn't worked. Since I never was able to teach her, why should I be taught by her, right? Amen. And so we have a generation today that's trying to teach their parents. But, you know, I like the early church, listen to their elders. We need to listen to those that are, not just that have been to a seminary, they got a reverend title in front of them, now they're a doctor, now they can really do something because we have a degree. In various countries I go to, in India when I went, they actually used to put on the door a doctorate, but I failed. And they put it, the pastors put it on their door. They want you to know that they went for the degree and they failed. At least they tried. But the bottom line is that those degrees go nowhere with God. Amen. Jesus' desire is that we know him. Amen. Theology has its place, but knowing Christ is the best thing. To experience him, to know him as God wants us to know him. And Peter's talking in 1 Peter 5, verse 1. And the elders which are among you, I exhort who am also an elder. So what he's saying is, the elders better listen to their elder. Do you know there's always somebody that God places over us? Do you know there's always someone who's been there before? And the idea of Peter was that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And we need to have a proper perspective about suffering. Suffering is not God punishing us or putting us in the penalty box. God don't play hockey. Amen. Like they do in Canada. God doesn't want to put you in a penalty box. If anybody puts you there, it's you that put yourself there. And God says it's time to come out of the penalty box, to feel that something has happened to you because God was against you. But God, if God be for us, who can be against us?